So this year, in 2018, we're talking about connecting to God and one another. And in this season, we've been talking about connecting to our past, the history of our faith. And we're wrapping that up today with a reflection on the joys and challenges of the church today. Now, I could talk for hours about that, so I've tried to encapsulate it in a little thing. And I've picked a couple of passages for today that I think encapsulate it too. We're going to hear a passage from Hebrews about running a good race. And we're going to hear a passage from Ephesians about coming into the very heart of Jesus. And I read something. We still get a paper newspaper. I don't know if you all do, but we get a paper newspaper. And I read this interesting story in the sports section yesterday. I always go to the sports section first. And I read this story about this young woman who's at Tucson High right now, who's going to come to the U of A, and they are predicting that she's going to be one of the fastest runners ever here in Tucson. Fastest runners. 100-yard dash in 12 seconds right now, and she's just a senior in high school. And one of the questions that they pose in this article is, how much faster, her last name is Howard, how much faster can Howard go? And that got me thinking a lot about our need to go fast. Our need to always go faster and faster and faster and faster. How much faster can a human being go? I admire this young woman for her gifts and her skills and her willingness to use her talents and learn and grow. But I wonder, how fast does she need to go? How fast do we need to go? And the scriptures today talk about running a race, but with a particular eye on the one who we serve. A particular eye on Jesus, who is the one who encourages us in our race in this life. Listen closely to the scriptures, and then I'll share a reflection with you in a few minutes.
I'll be reading Ephesians chapter 3, verse 17 through 19 from the Living Bible. If you wish to follow along, the words will be on the screen. And I pray that Christ will be more and more at home in your hearts, the thing within you as you trust in him. May your roots go down deep into the soil of God's marvelous love, and may you be able to feel and understand, as all God's children should, how long, how wide, how deep, and how high his love really is, and to experience this love for yourselves, though it is so great that you may never see the end of it, or fully know or understand it. And so, at last, you'll be filled up with God himself. This is the word of God for the people of God.
Our second scripture reading today is from Hebrews 12, verses 1 through 3. Therefore, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and sin that clings so closely. And let us run with perseverance the race that is set before us, looking to Jesus, the pioneer and perfecter of our faith, who for the sake of the joy that was set before him endured the cross, disregarding its shame, and has taken his seat at the right hand of the throne of God. Consider him who endured such hostility against himself from sinners, so that you may not grow weary or lose heart. The words of God for the people of God.
Open our hearts, O God, to hear your word this day. Amen. So many of you know that we have a little foster grandbaby in our family. Our son David and his wife Michelle have, we call him Baby H, and he is 20 months old, and he's doing really, really well. And recently I was at their house, and they have a large area in their backyard that's kind of a concrete slab, and The baby was running from one end to the other, and then he'd stop in the middle and he'd make these big circles, and all the while he's doing that, he's saying, running, 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 running. He's learning to talk. He's talking a lot now, and he'd go down and he'd say, running, 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 and go in circles, running, 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 and I'd say, yes, you are running. And I thought, what purpose is this? All this running. And I discover when I look closer that, of course, he's building up strength, all that running. He's practicing the language that goes with the activity. And he's giving us a lot of smiles watching him. Does all running have purpose? I remember back in the 1980s, Art did triathlons back when we lived in southeastern Wisconsin. You know, triathlons are biking, swimming, and running. And he would train for these. And the purpose, and the hardest thing for him was the running. And the purpose of it was, fitness. And as you were going through the athlon, the purpose is to get to the next leg, right? If you're going to do the whole thing, the idea is to complete the whole race, to do the whole thing. And I think also when we talk about running, I think about mothers running, about running households, about running kids from one thing to another. Now, dads do that too. We know, especially today, that you do, dads. But today I'm talking a little bit about mothers. And I remember doing this with my own children, running, 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 and sometimes it didn't seem very purposeful at all that running. And yet I look at them today, my grown children, and they are... Now, we all should say this about our children, right? But they are pretty amazing people. Julie and David. And it's not all due to the running of the household and their lives, but we have some influence over them in helping them, in helping get them to be caring and insightful and contributing and faithful people. And it is a privilege to be their mother. The running of the race that helped them to get to adulthood had great purpose. What is this running and the race that the writer of Hebrews 12 is talking about? Therefore, since we're surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us run with perseverance the race that's set before us, looking to Jesus. Now, over these last few weeks, we've been talking about connecting to our past, to the history of our faith. We started with Abraham and Sarai almost 4,000 years ago and about God's covenant with them to be their God and we would be his people. We talked about the marking events in Hebrew history, the exodus from slavery in Egypt and the exile many years later of the people to Babylon and these events that deeply shaped Jewish tradition and identity. We talked about how the Jewish people in the centuries before Jesus longed for a Messiah to deliver them from occupying forces and from the despair of their hearts. And Jesus came, a different kind of Messiah than they expected, but one that freed their hearts to live and to love one another as I have loved you, he said. We talked about the development of the early church, the struggles of early Christians until in the 4th century under the Roman Emperor Constantine, Christianity became accepted. Last week, we talked about the reforming of the church as we went along, especially the Reformation and the birth of the Protestant church in the 1500s. And with John Wesley in the 1700s, by grace are you saved by faith alone. And I said that today I would wrap up this series because next week is Pentecost. And so these are my thoughts on Christianity today, joys and challenges. And sometimes it does seem like a race that requires a lot of perseverance, a lot of staying with it in the midst of joys and challenges. Now, of course, much history has contributed in the last few centuries to where we are today with the church, colonization of this land and other places, which brought a whole variety of religions to what became the U.S. and other places, slavery and the Civil War, The world wars, the growth of Islam and other faiths around the world, all an explosion of knowledge and the discoveries of science of all types, space exploration, and so many more things have affected the church and Christian faith, right? We can go on naming those all day, the influences on Christian faith. Now, we look at Christianity today around the world, and we find that it is under siege in some places. Followers of Jesus in some places are persecuted for their faith, not unlike those in the early church. Now, people of many faiths are persecuted for their faith today. Sometimes their lives are even threatened. People who follow Judaism or Islam or Hinduism or other faiths, people of all faiths, are persecuted in some ways today. But I am choosing to say something about other Christians, because that's what I'm talking about today, our faith, and lift up Christians being persecuted for their faith in North Korea, in India, in Nigeria and Syria, in Mexico, especially by the drug cartels, if you can imagine that. Those are just examples, and we wonder what we can do to help. There are times when we can give money or programs or Bibles or other things. We discover, though, that overwhelmingly persecuted Christians ask to be prayed for. That's what they want. When we say to them, what can we do? They say, when we know that Christians, especially in the U.S., are praying for us, that makes a huge difference. And that's why our Worldwide Christian Support Task Force is today giving you the chance to sign up to receive prayer alerts from Open Doors USA, an organization that's affiliated with the United Methodist Church's General Board of Church and Society. Let me bring us back to the race we run day by day. Here we find ourselves in this life race today as Christians, and sometimes we wonder, what is this race I'm running? And why? What is the purpose? And why be a Christian today? You know, there are so many issues that face the Christian church today. I'm talking today about joys and challenges, right? So many issues today. Issues around sexuality, around theology and how to understand the Bible, around what stands to take on other important issues in society, about how to reach people nowadays, how much technology and special services and what kind of music and worship to offer. The list goes on and on. What a race today. All important things, all important. But it can feel like running in circles and being overwhelmed at times by issues. And not only are the issues and concerns of and within the church so present today, Christianity itself has little or no part in the lives of many, many people today. People race in different directions. So secular our world today. So wrapped up in buying and getting and achieving and acquiring and watching phones and media and no interest in or time for matters of faith. You know this to be true. The biggest challenges of the Christian church today, to be pulled to race in so many different ways and directions, to be then filled with dilemmas and running in circles to try to keep up with all the issues and concerns. All important things. And to be in such a secular world now, and then to be uncertain about the direction to go and who to follow. There's where we are in our world today. Let's slow down for a moment and hear what the writers of Hebrews and Ephesians say to us today. Therefore, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and run with perseverance the race that's set before us, looking to Jesus, the pioneer and perfecter of our faith. Therefore, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, what did or do our mothers and grandmothers and aunts, and of course men too, but today is Mom's Day, what what do those women at their best teach us and show us? To lay aside all the weight, all the running, all the debating and wrangling and wrestling, and look to Jesus. Looking to Jesus himself, the pioneer and the perfecter of our faith, who offered him himself. Consider him and who he is and what he did so that you may not grow weary or lose heart. In the race of life as a Christian, persevere toward Jesus. In the midst of all the challenges that life brings today, this race, there is Jesus. There he is. Right in front of us. Just keep going. Gently and steadily and lovingly toward him. And he will guide us in the race. That's the huge joy. He's always there. His spirit guiding us. We look at the life of Jesus, this one we're moving toward, and here's what we find. He said to his first disciples, get up and just follow me, and I'm going to show you the way. He puts his hand on countless people with blindness and leprosy and blood flow and sin and says, be well. And he says it to us too. Be well. To those who would hate, Jesus says, let's go have some food together. That's what he said when the people wanted to hate Zacchaeus. He said, Zacchaeus, I'm going to come and have some food with you. I'm not going to let those people hate you. I'm going to go have some food with you. And when he's asked the greatest commandment, because people were running all over trying to keep 613 commandments or none of them at all. He says, love the Lord your God with all your heart, your soul, and all your soul, and all your mind, and with all your strength, and love your neighbor as yourself. And he says to us, come to me, all you who are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. There are many challenges in being a Christian today, but this is one of the great joys, running steadily toward Jesus, who can't wait to show us the way. How do we know him? We know him by coming to church and hearing about him. We know him by praying and reading scripture, by studying with others and spending time with him, by practicing our faith. We come to know him better. And by hearing these words, and I pray that Christ will be more and more at home in your hearts, living within you as you trust in him. And when we move steadily toward Jesus, we find him more and more at home in our hearts. One of my greatest joys as a Christian leader is watching this happen with you. Watching you move steadily toward Jesus. Watching our confirmands growing in faith, in leadership, and in service. All kinds of things pull our eyes off Jesus. Important things. Important things and our secular world, but Jesus says, keep me right here in front of you, running steadily toward me, and you will have abundant joy in spite of it all. I think about my mom today. My mom's been gone 5 years now. I think about my mom today, and sometimes she was clingy and annoying, and she required a lot of running around to take care of her. That's the truth. But then I think about how grateful I am that she helped me keep my eyes on Jesus by her encouragement, her pride in her children, her devotion to church and to Jesus. She helped me keep my eye on Jesus. I think about the privilege of being a mom. Now, this is me, but it can be true for all of you who nurture others, men and women. We get to, friends, stand just ahead of our children and help them keep their eyes on Jesus' love and life, his way of living, guiding them toward Jesus. We get to do that. Our children don't always keep moving toward Jesus, but that doesn't stop us from guiding, from pointing by our lives, pointing the way. I think about the great joy of being a grandmother, and that's all I'm going to say about that. I think about the boundless joy of serving with you, of guiding you and keeping your eyes on Jesus. He's right there in the midst of the great challenges of today. There he is, showing us the way to life abundant, and I get to, every day of my life, I get to watch you run steadily toward him. Slow and steady, not as fast as any human being can go, but persevering because God's got it and invites us to move steadily toward Jesus, just like raising children, slow and steady, helping them keep their eyes on Jesus. Thanks be to God.